Listen up, boner maniacs. What you gonna do when Pot of Thunder runs wild on you?
Welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Curiosities. What is that? I'll tell you one thing, it's not. That's not bad cooking. Chris, what is that?
No, that's the She's So High candle. Picked that one because it kind of pertains to the topic of the jokes segment. Meaning the topic of the joke segment are things that someone might overconsume while high.
Ooh, so, something to look forward to.
Yes, little always teaser. Something to look forward to.
Yeah. So if you want 20% off to cover up those horrible smells coming from your room.
Your room specifically.
It's your room.
My goodness.
Go to...
It was the kitchen last week.
Well, it's their room today. Curiosities.com. Enter that promo code POTHEAD for 20% off. You're going to love it. A variety, a large variety, not just... the handful that we've selected that we talk about each week, but there's a whole bunch on their website, so you'll find something you love on there. Great product, great people. Support them. And when you're done with that, the show is also brought to you by patreon.com/potofthunder. And if you want to be like Terry the Hulk Grasser and introduce the show.
That was a good impression.
That was very good. He had me going for a second. I thought someone woke up the Hulkster for a cameo. I didn't know what was going on. If you want to be like Terry, go to patreon.com/potofthunder. You can intro the show at every level, a tier for everybody. So if you want to give us a raise, do it.
Terry doing Terry.
Back it up, Terry.
There you go.
I didn't watch that video this year.
You didn't watch Back It Up, Terry, the fireworks video?
Forgot.
I did.
Always next year. So you're saying that they took their dirty dishes with the bad cooking remnants.
Yep.
Put them in the bedroom because company was coming over.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Dirty, unwashed clothing.
They need two candles.
Foul-smelling footwear.
They need two candles.
Yeah, they need at least two. And you're going to get 20% off on curiosities.com with that promo code POTHEAD. So maybe get four.
What the hell? Well, if you buy five, you essentially get one for free.
There you go. So. There you go. Do that. Don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
Stop being an idiot.
Stock up.
Not anymore.
Look.
Make it worth the shipping.
Here's the thing. You're not getting any younger. You're Look not. In the mirror. It's time to stop being an idiot. Make the first right decision of your life.
That's why I avoid mirrors.
Curiosities and patreon.com/potofthunder. That's where you're going to get started.
Uh-huh.
And you know me. I'm out of breath already, see?
Wow.
I can't do this. I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know who I am. You know me. It's your buddy Andy. Nick, what am I? I don't remember.
You are very much... severely disrobed on a regular basis.
I am disrobed often, but at this moment I'm wearing
this. The Emperor has no clothes at this moment.
Yeah.
He has no production.
Yeah, something is wrong. This thing just kept being white. Anyway, you know me, yes.
Could he be the most nakedest man in the world?
He could be. Oh, it's getting there. The world's nakedest man. It's your buddy Andy, America's little brother, former Mr. Teen Indiana. You know the drill. And behind me, this guy, he's got something planned. Last week he was Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Who is he going to be this week? Let's find out together. Let me frame him up here. All right, ready, set, do it, Nick. Nick Pollock has entered the program. Nick, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you.
Glad to have you here with us.
Summoned up an erection with his bare hands on that one.
What did you do? I didn't see you. Playing with
I
your,
dropped it over.
You're playing with your boner over there? What are you doing? Boy, if you weren't on the highest, what is this tier called? The lurker tier?
Is that what it's called?
Now is the reason to be on here. Nick's pulling out his boner.
Oh, my goodness.
He's not. I didn't see what he did, though. What did you do?
Let me, you know what? I dropped it. Let me go get it.
holding out his boner.
Did a what magic wand over there? Would you stop by her dad's house on your way over?
No, you had a magic wand.
Yeah, I did a little.
Mm, very good. Ah, I see. Look at you. All right, and to your left, it's the Boner City Madman. Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast medium. Chris L's here.
Yep.
Woo. Out of Thunder
Still
Time.
Still here.
Glad to hear that. Chris Camarado said, can you get 25% off your order of a yard o' candles?
We might not have to our company. Up. Don't know.
We might have to make a suggestion, though. Yard o' candles. Maybe if you buy a yard o' candles, you get something. We'll see. How about this? You buy a yard o' candles, you put in the promo code, and you get your 20% off.
That you would have tried that.
Regardless.
That you can do for sure.
He's already tacking on another 5% discount.
Yeah, where did that come from, Chris?
These Philly motherfuckers always
you give them an
put
inch.
One over on somebody.
They can't help them. So
it's bombing each other, tacking on 5% to an already generous discount code.
It's in
how
their
these creeps conduct themselves.
It's in their blood to cheat
in
Philadelphia.
Throwing batteries at Santa Claus. I mean, you know, this is what kind of subhuman behavior these people engage in on the regular.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here we are, this beautiful, muggy, July whatever it is day. Nick, did you bring anything to eat? Sounds like he didn't.
Didn't? No, he did.
Did he?
Yeah, man.
Things here, you didn't hear the...
No, I'm just being an ass.
And he's stalling.
I was trying to do something here and it wasn't working. Nothing works. Chris is going to love this, but when I tell him, you can put in the search of your computer, of your Mac specifically, exactly the name of a file, it doesn't find it anymore. It used to find everything.
Well,
they've updated the search to where it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't do anything.
I'll complain about Windows a bit. When I go to the start menu and search for something, I don't want a web search.
Oh, right. What are you doing?
But
you would do that somewhere else. You don't need to do it from the start.
Yeah, there's
menu.
A browser still that you can do that on. Anyway.
Outrageous. Anyway. I want to eat them.
Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me?
All right, so looks like a brownie.
It's technically not, but it...
Technically not.
Well...
I mean, looks like one.
It's
smells like one.
We had a few months back the Paula Deen gooey butter cake.
Mm-hmm.
This is a double chocolate version of that.
Oh,
essentially came out like a brownie, I think. But
is it also a Paula Deen joint?
Yeah, yeah. It's. I think I got it straight off of her website. So it's just a chocolate cake mix pressed into the bottom. And then a cream cheese, cocoa powder, egg, I forget what else, but mixture on top. And somehow they kind of meld. And it's not two separate layers, really, which I find interesting. Because putting it together, you think, oh, okay, this will be one layer, this will be another one. Almost like a cheesecake kind of a thing where there's your crust and then your filling. But no, they kind of meld together somehow.
It looks like a beautiful work of art. Edible art.
It's very chocolatey.
Chris is going to try it first. We'll see. No, I'm sure it's good. It smells great. Thank you, Nick.
You're welcome.
Excited to indulge in that today during the program.
Might have another Paula Deen treat next week. I'm eyeballing another one.
Oh. She's still alive, Paula Deen? Yeah, right?
How dare you?
I'm not being rude. I'm just trying to remember.
Of course
yeah,
she
I couldn't. I couldn't remember. Either.
I don't know.
Didn't she run into some trouble a few years ago?
She's going around calling everyone the N-word.
Well, who doesn't?
Everyone.
Come on now. That's when need a mirror.
Everyone doesn't. That's who does.
She did it Vince McMahon style. She didn't think it was a big deal.
It was a comedic delivery.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even see what it was that she allegedly did. I've never seen it or heard it or anything.
So. I don't know. Something.
No idea.
She called Dog the Bounty Hunter the N-word or something. I don't know. I can't keep these stories straight. I can't keep them all straight. Anyway.
But she's still alive, still putting out recipes. She's so
every day on her YouTube channel.
Every day?
Every day.
Does she have some kind of legacy thing where...
Just in her kitchen.
There's no way she's doing it every day.
She's doing it every day.
It's not like someone who runs Paula Deen's YouTube is pulling recipes from shows 20 years ago or whatever.
She's in her kitchen.
Oh my goodness. This lady.
You want to talk a prolific performer.
Yeah.
Every day.
You know who's not in her kitchen?
Who's that?
I don't know. Anyway. I'm not going to tell you who. Someone that she's not allowing in her kitchen.
What are you poking around with over there?
I got something here. I got a package in the mail. And I think we should open it now. Oop, I shouldn't have done that. It's from our friend Dustin Johnson. Our dear friend Dustin.
Oh, Dustin of Season of the Witch.
Yes.
Podcast.
If you haven't checked it out, you should. It looks like some framed items. So I'm going to pull these out. I don't know who Dustin. They're for.
What are you doing, Dustin?
Items plural?
Yeah, it looks like four.
People are too generous.
They are.
Dustin being one of them.
What did we ever do to have such nice friends?
I don't know. Nothing.
Honestly.
We didn't do anything.
Well, we cut him a discount on some candles.
That's true.
That might be where
it's not worth nothing.
We relayed that message. That's true. Faithfully.
Hell of a packing job, Dustin. Thank you. I don't want this stuff to break. All right. Oh, look at this. All right, this is for Chris.
What we got here?
That's for me.
Season of the Witches. All right.
Oh, here we go. And then these are for Nick. There's two for Nick.
Two for Nick.
Look at that.
Oh, we got it.
So this is like an Oscar.
We won awards.
Yeah, we won awards from his show from Season of the Witch.
These are really nice. Thank you.
Look at that.
Yeah, these are nice, actually.
So we all got the very Pot of Thunder Christmas, right?
Yeah, we all won a Witcher.
He signed it and everything.
That is beautiful.
And Nick got an extra one for what?
For the theme music for his podcast.
Oh, you did that.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick's cleaning up tonight. Nick's the darling of the Season of the Witches.
Wow. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dustin. If you haven't checked out Dustin's show, check it out. Every once in a while, one of us pops up on there, and I'm sure we will again in the future. So thank you, Dustin. Very, very nice.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I don't know what's talking about. A fur brownie? What's a fur brownie? I don't know what that is. Is that a...
Eject that person from the chat immediately.
We don't use that word over here. Now I want to know, fur brownie, what that is.
Yeah.
Why am I saying
who brought that up?
I don't know.
It was Bev.
Bev?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus.
That's from across the pond.
Mind in the gutter, as usual.
It probably is some of that rhyming slang. It means something completely different. Just rhymes with brownie.
Yeah, could be.
That's what they do.
All right, so... Let's get ourselves started here. What is it? My turn, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay. I should get ahead of here. What am I doing? Nick, what's up over there? You having a good time?
Yeah, I got two awards already.
That's good.
All I did was a silly dance, and I got two awards.
Well, keep it up. You know, something else while I'm pulling up the list here. Our friend, our dear friend, Tommy Lombardozzi, is going through... he's having a procedure done tomorrow morning, so let's wish Tommy good luck.
God bless you, Tommy.
Yeah.
Are you listening right now, Tommy?
I don't know if he is. I don't know if he's able to right now.
Oh, okay.
But he told me, hey, tomorrow morning I got something going on here.
Like tomorrow as of this recording?
Yes, as of this recording.
That's soon.
All right, so by the time the episode comes out to the general public, hopefully he will have emerged from that healthier and better than when he went in. It's about a year ago when I had my hip replaced. Totally worth it. I don't know what kind of procedure he's having, but in general, if you need a procedure, don't avoid it. Go have it done.
There you go.
You know, while Andy's doing that, and since you brought up Tommy, I wanted to bring this up. Speaking of... 4th of July treats and food and whatnot.
Okay.
Tommy sent me a video of someone making something called apple pie baked beans.
Hmm.
And I was checking it out, and I'm like, this is so different and strange. I'm going to try it. So I made it for 4th of July, and they were awesome. They were really, really good.
Really?
Yes. And then I'm at the store a few days after the 4th, and I see Bush's, like a whole end cap, and it's two flavors, special flavors, one of which is apple pie baked bean. So apparently this is a thing. I had no idea. Homemade version, I'm sure, is way better because you actually dump a can of apple pie mix into the baked beans. It is so good.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
highly recommend.
I'm not a beans guy. I like refried beans at a Mexican restaurant, but just in general, like a can of Bush's baked beans, not my thing.
No, I'm all about that.
You like them beans?
Beans, yeah.
You like that?
Beans
that,
on sure. toast?
Absolutely. Beans on toast.
Yeah, that's a British thing, but I've tried it.
So it's a fur brownie.
As with most British things, it's totally stupid and unnecessary. Beans on toast?
It is good.
Mixing with apple pie. Just eat the fucking beans straight. People messing with a winning formula.
I'm telling you, though, this apple pie beans thing.
I don't believe you, and I'm not going to go out of my way to try it. I just don't. I can't wrap my mind around that, how that could possibly be good.
It really is. I just tried it because it was different, and it's one I'm going to write down in my notebook.
And it's pre-canned that way now?
Apparently they sell them that way.
They heard about Nick and Tommy. They're monitoring your conversation on Meta.
Yeah.
The Bush's people. So, big Beans is in the...
Tommy only sends me reels of chicks with big tits, so, you know, I don't know what that... Maybe that could mix with apple pie mix, I don't know, but, you know.
He knows his audience.
He does. He doesn't beam out random messages to everybody. He tailors his messages to the audience. Well, I appreciate
it. I
want to
thank Tommy because that was really good.
He sends me things that Paula Deen would say behind closed doors.
Yeah.
He knows his audience.
Anyway.
See, I'm with Jackie in chat, and we've actually discussed this amongst ourselves. Anything pickle, dill pickle, I'm in on it.
Okay, well, you know what the other flavor was of the baked beans?
Was it dill pickle?
I'm pretty sure. I'm looking it up right now.
That I will try immediately.
Let's see here. Oh, here it is. Yep, I took a photo.
Dill pickle beans.
Apple pie and dill pickle beans.
Oh, my God. Dill pickle, yes. Apple pie, no.
I can't vouch for Bush's version of it, but, man, that homemade one was good.
Lee says, I get Catherine Zeta-Jones picks. That's what Tommy sends her. He really does know his audience.
He does.
He's got something for everybody. And, you know, Nick, because Tommy's going through this, he's got this procedure, we're wishing him well. Nick promised not once but twice he's going to deliver something that causes a standing ovation. So Nick's going to level the room twice, he said, during this episode. All right, he's got two of them. So, Nick, go ahead. Do the first one.
Well.
Okay, he's got nothing.
I have nothing.
All right. Two home runs in one day. That's what we're hoping for out of Nick.
All right. Well, I got two jokes for later.
So. Okay. Maybe that'll be
I got two that I'm pretty happy with. And this discussion we just completed ties in with the topic.
This is true.
More serendipity. Pot serendipity. It just happens organically.
It really does happen.
I just want to remind everyone that there's nothing scripted about this show. We don't know what the song's going to be. Andy has no idea what the joke's topic is.
Nope.
And these things just naturally mesh together. It just happens organically.
Like beans and apple pie mix.
Well,
just organically meshing together.
I'm not trying. The dill pickle, I'm all over it. Anything, I'm with Jackie. Anything dill pickle, count me in on it.
All right.
We've talked about this. The sweet and the savory together is just not my thing. I don't get it.
Not your thing.
Not a fan of that.
All right.
Anyway, let's move forward.
Let's do it, Nick. I need you to fire up the generator. Can you do it?
I sure can.
First pool, number 586. 586. And if you want to add some songs to the listener submission list, ooh, that's a good one, go to patreon.com/potofthunder. At every level, that is available. This is a good one. I'm going to put it in the hopper just in case, because I don't know. It's a good song. I don't know how much comedy will come from it.
That's a consideration.
Yeah, it's not necessarily what we need. I don't know. We'll see. Hmm. Let's pull it again, Nick. Whenever you're ready, give it a yank. No, you cannot monitor this computer. Number 1644. People are always trying to monitor this computer. No.
1644.
See, I think you guys would like this one. Ooh. I don't. I don't care for that one.
You don't?
I don't
it's
like
your
that.
Call, man.
You insane.
Yes.
Hey, what are you doing, man? What's that?
Move along to the next trick.
We don't want any of this. Fuck!
Jesus.
Nick, one more, please. Third and final poll is going to be number 1274. 1274.
I'm just curious what that last one was.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No, I don't look.
Oh, you don't look.
I'm not peeking.
Oof. I don't know.
The
I think the
fuck is. Oh.
I think the first one. Yeah, I think it's got to be the first one. Going to the first. You know what? Since we're going to bushwick this one, we might as well bushwick this one.
We don't want any of this! Fuck!
Move along to the next trick.
All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Going to the first one.
And what number was that? 5-something?
It was 5 something.
586.
586, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 586, Nick.
Okay.
There it is. So, Now, I'll see if you're in the Patreon group with us on Thursdays. I'll show you which songs that I bushwhacked. Don't tell anybody. That's between us.
Okay.
586.
That's right.
Hit it.
Habemus papa, man.
Campo Pozo. Yay, that Pozo.
Nick, who is the Pope in 586?
586. Pope Honorius.
Close.
Really?
Pelagius II. In 586, the Catholic Pope was Pelagius II that year. He wrote a famous letter in Latin to Bishop Onacarius of Azur in Gaul. Always something I can't pronounce. In which he sent sacred relics, such as items that he had touched, that had touched the tombs of the apostles Peter and Paul, to help strengthen the faith in northern regions.
Okay.
Additionally, this year marked a major milestone for the man who would eventually become Pope Gregory the Great. But I guess he concluded 6 years of serving as the Pope's ambassador in Constantinople.
Okay. So Pope Pelagius?
Pelagius.
Pope
what
Pelagius.
What do you think of that, Andy?
I think he shouldn't have done that.
Were you listening?
I was sharing the songs I bushwhacked with the group that joins us here on Thursday nights.
And that's what they're saying?
They're saying...
I think he shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he committed an act of heresy with his reaction to the second poll, in my opinion.
So. Well, not my first nor my last, Chris.
No.
Hey, it's still on there for you guys. If it comes up for you in the future, you can choose it.
What it is.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, if you were on the Thursday night Patreon, you'd
not,
know.
I certainly am not. So.
Or if you had some new glasses, or if you do, or if you do that thing you do where you make binoculars with your hands, you might be able to see it.
I don't even see it. Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
Some things are fine being a mystery.
Yes. So, the number we chose was number 586. By we, I mean me, via the listener submission list, which was built by you, the listener. Okay. Well, everybody knows it, I think. Oh. I mean, everybody in this room does for sure, but I think most people listening know it. I had a brief period where I got into this band.
Really?
Briefly.
That's
briefly.
Interesting.
Not huge, not deep, but like, checked them out. Let's just reveal what it is for Nick, because...
Because he's the one person who doesn't know.
Yeah, yeah. So let's do that. Let's rip off the Band-Aid here. Turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold. This one's called...
Space Truckin'.
Oh, off of...
Machine Head.
By the band...
Deep Purple.
Wow.
Ow! Oh,
I don't remember you ever being into Deep Purple.
So I liked this song.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Highway Star.
Oh, sure.
And that might be about it. That was it. Because I think I illegally downloaded this album back in the Napster days.
We still have our mom's vinyl.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Mom owned this one.
She went to go see them on this tour.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Man.
So she saw this live.
Was it Chicago? I forgot what the venue was called.
Oh, that one place. I can't think of the name, but like Coliseum or something.
Yeah,
something
maybe.
Like that, but it was something that's gone.
Yeah,
long
she
gone.
Went to go see him. She bought the album, went to go see him on this tour.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a feather in her concert going cap for sure. I mean, this is the. I'm going to mess this up. Their lineups are referred to as mock, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So this would be mock 3 or mock 2?
Oh, I don't know.
I think Mach 2.
I think so, because it's...
The first one's with Rod Evans and Nick Simper.
And then...
Blackmore Lord and Pace.
What is the Coverdale and Hughes era? Is that Mach
4? It'd be 3.
Was that 3?
Yeah. I think so. We should, you know, our friends at the Deep Purple podcast, John and Nathan, are probably... fuming at our lack of knowledge about the band, but I think that's right. Mach 2 recorded this album, the Mach 2 lineup, which in most people's estimation is the quintessential
the classic lineup.
Deep Purple lineup, yes. So,
yeah, I would say so, particularly because of Smoke on the Water.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, this album is essentially a greatest hits album. Every cut is a well known song, previous staples of the live set.
You know, I'm thinking as far as like major radio play, like hits that most people would know. Are there any songs from the Coverdale Hughes era that would be considered
Burn?
But I mean, like, would your average not? But did that get a lot of radio play? And I mean, maybe when it came out, but I don't remember really hearing it on the radio that much in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not. But I mean,
Tony Griggs said "Burn" too.
Yeah,
same time as Chris.
Burn.
I mean, like
"Stormbringer" would be the other one.
Because I don't. I mean, it's strange that Coverdale was the vocalist, and I mean Rod Evans was there with Hush, right?
Hush and Kentucky Hush. Woman.
Yeah, and then you had Ian Gillan on a number of hits.
Yeah, I mean that's what most of the staples, but
yeah.
You know, Burn and Stormbringer are, you know, on the greatest hit, like the When We Rock, We Rock greatest hits compilation. So, I mean, Burn is a radio play or not, that's like a legendary track,
sure.
Especially among guitar aficionados. It's just a ripping guitar performance from Blackmore. Also, Burn inspired I Stole Your Love by Kiss. It's essentially they stole the main riff.
I Stole Your Riff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, well, let me tell you this. Tanis O'Connell submitted this song. Okay.
Thank you, Tanis.
Back in March of this year, Tanis says, the final song on my favorite album of all time.
Oh, okay. Not a bad choice. Like I said, this it's essentially a greatest hits album. Every cut is outstanding. You know, the song Smoke on the Water is essentially a song about the circumstances that recurring around them as they recorded this album. A masterpiece.
And there's a fun Ace Frehley cover version of this song, for those who might recall.
There's an Ace Frehley cover of one of the other songs that got Bushwick, too.
There is, yes.
What?
Yeah.
Was this on one of his Origins albums?
I'm pretty sure. I sometimes get mixed up because he would put a cover on his other stuff too, but it's on Origins Volume 2, yes. Okay. And if I recall,
were there two of those or three of those Origins?
I think he was working on the third.
Third didn't come out, okay.
Yeah. So there might be stuff recorded for the third, but really nobody has come out and said too much about that I've heard. But yeah, this is... I don't know as far as numbers. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but would you say probably their best-selling album? If you had to guess off the top of your head, which one would be the best-selling
Machine
album?
Machine Head? It has Smoke on the Water.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would think.
Has to be.
Yeah. Yeah, Tony Griggs says, Smoke on the Water may be the most recognizable guitar intro of any rock tune.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No question about it.
Yeah, I don't think I knew it, as weird as this is going to sound, but it was one of those songs that Beavis and Butthead would yell. You know, they would do like the dun, dun, yeah, dun, that.
Right. Yeah.
And then I learned what it was from that. I probably asked Nick or something.
It was like that in Mother Russia or something. Really? I think they used to do that one.
Da, 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 da. Is that the song? Mother Russia?
Yeah,
is it Iron Maiden?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that.
I think so, or at least it was in. I had a Beavis and Butthead book, and it was like how to you know, obviously all humorous stuff, but it was like how to play like Beavis and Butthead, and it just said dun 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 dun. I think one of the songs was Mother Russia.
That's pretty funny. It's a funny one to pick.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Are you ready to get into this one?
Yeah, man.
1972.
72.
Yeah.
We're going to hear Mr. John Lord right off the bat, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Space Truckin'.
That's a groove. That's the definition of a groove right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool because a lot of Deep Purple, when I think Deep Purple, I think of like the higher frequency, higher pitched keyboards kind of on top of everything.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool that it's almost identical to what the guitar sounds like.
Yeah.
It's basically doubling it.
Yeah, they do. Well, and I think this is correct. Like, I have to put that disclaimer on everything I say these days because it's anything that comes out of my mouth.
When someone asks your name and your birthday,
there's always a chance I could be wrong about it. But in addition to playing the Hammond organ through the typical Leslie speaker, Lord ran his through a Marshall stack of guitar amps. So that explains part of it. But, you know, just the sounds he would pull out of a Hammond organ, you know, an instrument available to everybody, but somehow he made it sound completely singular when he played it.
Yeah.
And going back to the groove, Ian Paice,
yes, come on. He's unbelievable.
One of the... Yeah, got to be in the top three rock drummers of all time. I mean, underrated, if anything, because he's one of these guys like Alex Van Halen. He's in a band with just a monster, iconic guitar player and also, you know, singer, Ian Paice, or Ian Gillan, and then later Coverdale, but sort of overshadowed by more prominent figures in the band, but from a straight up swinging British drummer of the late 60s, early 70s, he's easily in the top three.
I'm trying to think of, man, I heard it just popped up on my YouTube feed a while back. It was an isolated drum track of his, and it's a Deep Purple song with like a pretty a lot of rapid hitting intro before the other instruments come in.
Hmm.
You know, it's an up tempo song for sure. I don't know Deep Purple's discography that well to be able to pull the name out right now, but man, like it's like this is. It's one of those where you hear the isolated track and it's interesting enough and skillfully played enough where you can listen to just that and be entertained the entire time.
That's enough.
And
huh?
Just admire what the guy's doing. And I know probably someone in the chat's going to remember they're going to know what song I'm talking about. It's Bonham, but faster and higher tuned sounding drums.
Okay.
As far as an intro, just rolls really fast stuff, and then he just busts into the beat. But yeah,
I can't to Chris's think of it point, based on that description. But.
And I'm pretty sure he's the only person who's consistently been
of Deep Purple. He's been a member of every incarnation from the beginning.
He's never been away from it, as far as I know.
Nope.
Wow. Jeez. So how many years is that?
Well, since 68.
Wow.
So coming up on 60 years almost. Yeah. Wow. Amazing stuff. Incredible.
And what, they just came out with a new album?
They did.
Come on now.
Did they really? I didn't know. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, they're still fucking amazing. At it. A couple summers ago, the aforementioned buds from Deep Purple podcast, John and Nathan, were kind enough to treat me to a Deep Purple concert down the street at the shed in Tinley Park. Incredible that these guys, Roger Glover is in his 80s. I think Ian Gillan is now, but to watch these guys late 70s, early 80s, just that the power and energy coming off that stage was just unbelievable given the ages of the guys in the band. Don Airey, of course, is the current keyboardist.
And they're on the album too, all the guys you're mentioning.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Richie Blackmore, Ian Gillan, and Roger Glover, all born in 1945.
Woo!
All in their 80s now.
Yeah, it's craziness, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, awesome band. You know, and this was, like I said, this is peak Deep Purple right here. I think you're always going to have your contrarians who say that, oh yeah, the Tommy Bolin era was the one, or this and that, or you know, I liked the Steve Morse era, but you know, Mach 2 lineup is the one. I mean. If you're just looking at it completely objectively, you can't deny the output of this lineup. I think they had did 5 studio albums, something like that, but just such incredible material just consistently.
We'll be right back.
So, I mean, you know, fun lyrics, nothing, they're not trying to say anything deep, which, you know.
Not trying to say anything purple either.
1972, you know, you're probably going to have people journey to the center of the mind and whatnot.
Well, and also the moon landing was fairly recent.
Yeah, true.
So, you know.
Or was it?
Well. Let's get Kevin Jepsen on the line. You know, back in that time, there was that fascination with you've opened a can of worms here, but, you know, the notion of,
you know,
landing somebody on the moon was pretty incredible.
Didn't Roman Polanski actually film Deep Purple space trucking instead of them actually space trucking? No, I don't know. Isn't that the conspiracy theory?
I was just crunching up my face, waiting for you to say something horrible. Roman Polanski.
No,
it was what's his name? Brother who did 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Kubrick. Oh, that's Kubrick, right. Yeah. It was Kubrick.
And what was the
that he
theory?
Filmed the space moon landing.
Oh,
that
it was, get it. Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah.
Okay, so it was Kubrick. He actually, Deep Purple didn't actually go space trucking. Kubrick just made it look that way.
Right.
But it's fun. How is it that Ace Frehley, he could not have not done this song.
Yes.
Had right. to have done this song.
It makes perfect sense.
It's one of the most Ace Frehley songs ever.
Yeah. Why wasn't it on Origins Volume 1 is the big
That's
question.
True.
Why wasn't it on the first Frehley's Comet album?
Yeah, right. I was going to say even further back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I remember thinking, like, hearing this song way back when and thinking that he said Boring Alice, because I didn't know what Borealis meant. Yeah. Like, who? What? He's dancing with Boring Alice?
Well,
this guy's having a good time. He'll even dance with the boring girl. He doesn't care who he's dancing
that's
with.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah.
I'll dance with you, that's you, when, you, and Boring Alice.
That's when you're
Alice.
Having a good time.
Yeah. If you can make Boring Alice have a good time, you're doing something right.
Well, you know, and more serendipity, I'm wearing the hat.
Something
I always say.
Yeah.
Plain Janes are rolling thunder in the sack. You
See,
can say the same thing about Boring Alice's.
It all comes together.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Absolutely dance with Boring Alice because, to quote a friend of Nick's, there will be an explosion later that night. Rest assured, it will happen.
My goodness.
All right, back at it.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
What a great riff that is.
Oh, it's a fuck. I literally just got a shot of chills listening to
for a chorus too.
Yeah.
And just bass, guitar, keyboard all playing the same thing, just the sheer power of it and just the tones meshing together and the double time drumming and the Gillan's vocals on top of all that, it's just perfection.
Yeah.
And it's just, hard rock. I mean, this is like proto metal. Sabbath, of course, with the sort of the doomier side, but in terms of just like the sheer power of metal comes from Deep Purple.
Yeah. I mean this as a compliment, but listening to the song right now, it doesn't seem like they probably spent too much time writing it and they got lightning in a bottle. Like it's the lyrics are just whatever and the parts of the song, I don't think it would have been that. It's not like super composed, if that makes sense, you know. It's not like Diary of a Madman or something.
Well, it's like so far they have two riffs.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's perfect though.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's just like the chorus, great chorus, love it. They didn't say, oh, we need this huge hook of, you know, with harmonies and these notes that we're holding. And
yeah, no orchestration.
He's yelling, come on, a bunch of times, and then let's go space trucking. That's it. But that's all you need.
That is all you need.
It's just, you know, there's different approaches to get to the same place of having a great song.
And as we've talked about on the show, the best songs are the ones that guys say, we wrote and recorded it in 20 minutes, and that was it.
I would believe that about this song.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure.
And again, I mean that in the good way.
Yeah, well, there's, yes.
Get out of your own way.
Just, and again, this was back in the day when they put out an album every year, so there wasn't really time to overthink stuff.
Yeah.
And there's no need to overthink this. It's like, you gotta believe they put it together and just like, yeah, this is good. Print it. Move on to the next one.
Yeah.
We nailed it.
Mm-hmm. All right. What's Pony Trucker?
I have no idea.
That's got to be a thing, right?
That's got to be a street in Britain or something.
I don't know.
Pony Trucker?
Pony Trucker.
They did a moonshot on Pony Trucker. Mm. Let's see.
Someone who goes pony trekking. A sport in which people ride across country on ponies. Okay.
Okay, so just about traveling long distances.
It's just weird that it was in caps, like it was a proper noun.
Well, yeah.
Who knows? Okay.
Apple bullshit.
Well, but I think, who knows? Maybe that's how they wrote it. I don't know.
Moonshot. Andy, what comes to mind when you think of the word moonshot?
Glen Allen Hill.
Glen Allen Hill.
I watched that clip fairly recently.
It's absurd.
Chip Carey's call of that is the best part of it. Way out of here.
That's funny that, yeah, we're all thinking the same thing. But that's when I think, if I ever hear the phrase moonshot.
That's the one.
It's Glen Allen Hill.
Well,
taking it out, well out of Wrigley Field.
My social media algorithm feeds me that reel regularly. Every time it comes up, I watch it. And mainly for the Chip Carey's call of it. But just the way he stands there after he cranks it out is fucking...
Yeah.
And when did this happen again? It might have been right when I was living down the street.
It was 2000.
Oh, 2000. Yeah, I was gone by then. But yeah, from 92 to like 93, a year and a half, I lived right down the street from Wrigley Field.
Which street did you live on?
On Seminary, you know where that firehouse is over the left field wall? You lived half a block down.
Wow. Right there.
Yep.
If you don't know what we're talking about, the Chicago Cubs home run, an absurd looking home run. I don't know where it landed.
Well, it landed on one of the rooftops across the way.
But I mean, on the list of all time, I don't know where it is in the distance.
They say that the Dave Kingman home run to straightaway center was further.
Because his landed on like a different street, like three houses down.
Yeah. But this was just,
it was someone getting all of it.
Oh, who had a bullet.
Lot of,
straight out, and it just landed on the roof. But play it.
There we go.
I got to hear Chip Carey's call is the best.
Let's this hear it.
Awesome.
Hill at 246, four home runs, and 10 driven in. You like the red shoes or the blue shoes better?
Like that.
I like the blue shoes better. Way out of here. Oh, my gosh. Oh, the street. I have never seen that. On top of the building. Even he admired that shot. It's gotta be the shoes, folks. It's gotta be the shoes.
I am not believing that.
On top of the roof.
I mean, there was no question from the time it left the bat, but watch this. Man. Look where it comes down. The kid caught it on the roof.
Away.
Yeah.
And tracked it down.
Unbelievable.
Finally.
Wow. 490 feet is the estimation on that home run. It's got to be longer than that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's 500, right?
What's that, 460?
He just whipped around from the hips and drove it out that far. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And that shows you how long ago it was when he says even he admired that shot. They all admire the shots now.
Yeah, that's a pretty common move now. But
back in the day, if you admired the shot, the next time you're in the batter's box, you'd be fucking on the dirt at the next pitch. You know?
Right.
They don't do that anymore.
Well, and is it the shoes? What was that from?
Spike Lee, right?
That'll kind of date it as well.
Yeah, but the whole practice of it being an anomaly that somebody admired their own home run, now it just happens every home run.
He only looked at it for a second.
He did.
It was still on the way up. He turned his head and just started skipping away.
But even that is more celebratory than you could typically get away with.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
Yes. All right, back to the song.
Blackmore getting a little funky on the rhythm guitar there.
Yeah, he is.
He's on, I talked about this on a previous episode, but he is on my Mount Rushmore of guitarists. It's Chuck Berry, Jimi Hendrix, Ritchie Blackmore, Eddie Van Halen. Because Ritchie Blackmore is responsible for all the neoclassical guys, the power metal guys, Randy Rhoads. I would say a lot of his note choices are rooted in what Blackmore did. It's so influential. And also, I would say, in general, underrated. But he is absolutely on my Mount Rushmore because his influence reaches so far into the future, and it's still, you can still hear it resonating in metal guitarists of today.
No Brian Robertson on your list?
No, he's my favorite.
But you're talking as far as influential
founding fathers?
Yeah. People who changed the entire rock guitar landscape. I mean, you know, Robbo didn't bring anything original or earth-shattering to the table other than just massive amounts of swagger and amazing solos and great playing and everything he did. But in terms of turning the guitar world upside down, those guys, that's my four.
Okay. All right. Let's hear Richie. Who's the first one to sing like that?
Might have been him.
Because that was a thing that lasted a long time.
I mean, who did the metal scream like that?
Yeah.
Before this song,
even? Another reason why you can trace metal back to mostly to Deep Purple. And then, of course, Judas Priest, which is everybody's... a lot of people observe, and rightly so, that Judas Priest was the band that like stripped the blues completely out of the music.
Yeah,
and of course Halford's vocals. But I'm trying to think of who sang like that before Gillan. I can't think of anybody offhand.
Yeah,
I mean McCartney went down that road like a little bit on stuff like Helter Skelter and Oh Darling and stuff, but it wasn't like super heavy music.
But
he
was, I think that McCartney was doing more Little Richard, and this is just something else.
Bobby Roode's a screaming Lord Sutch.
I
don't know. I'd have to. I know a few songs by him.
Screaming Lord Sutch.
I don't know that he screamed like this though.
Well, and of course is the Ian Gillan screaming tour de force is Child in Time. I think it came out on the album before this, but just a paint peeling vocal performance on that one. Incredible stuff. And he's another one that when I saw that show a couple summers ago, I mean, he was still approaching this level of vocal at 80 years old. It was astonishing to watch.
Wow.
Crazy.
Screaming. I don't know who Screaming Lord Such is.
He, I've sent you a couple of songs by him, actually.
Is that right?
That Murder in the Graveyard song.
Okay. I'm looking at him now. Okay, I kind of
It's great, but I've never heard anything where he's screaming like that. Hmm. Is he screaming Jay Hawkins? Yes.
Yeah.
He's got screaming in the name. He doesn't scream like this.
He screams a little different.
No, he tells people to bite it constantly.
Tony Gregg says Lucifer's Friend. Is that an artist or is that a song by... I don't know. I'm sorry, Tony.
You I don't to know. I'm not sure.
Actually, theoretically, you could trace it back to Yoko Ono.
She invented metal.
Shrieking like this into a microphone. But, of That's course, true. Perfected here and numerous other tracks by Ian Gillan. And of, it's also one of the things that's so appealing about his one and only album, Sabbath. Just some of the screams he unleashes on that one is just fucking unbelievable. Amazing stuff.
So Tony says Lucifer's Friend is a band, and I see German rock band formed in Hamburg in 1970. So maybe something to check out if you're interested. Tony would know. Yeah. So there you go.
People on the chat have forgotten more than we have ever known about music, so appreciate the input there. But let's put it this way. There may have been people before Ian Gillan who sang like this. He perfected it.
Yeah.
And... One of the things that you can trace back to Deep Purple is being the founding fathers of true metal.
Yeah,
and I would assume most people first time that they've ever heard that type of singing was Ian Gillan.
Probably
whether he was the first to really do it. It's sort of like Lars Ulrich and and Mini Blast Beats. didn't originate it, but a lot of people, when they first realized that was a thing, it was hearing Lars Ulrich do it.
Yeah, and of course he stole that from Filthy Phil and Overkill.
True.
And I'm sure some other...
Tommy Aldrich would do that.
But when pressed about it, Lars points to Overkill by Motorhead, which opens the opening... Part of the song is just Phil doing a double kick, slow it down. I don't even, it's not fast enough to call it a blast beat, but it's basically just a double kick beat, and that's what Lars attributes it to. But
Well, all these innovators.
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, it's incredibly innovative, influential band, Deep Purple. And I think a lot of casual listeners, they're like, oh, they're the smoke and the water guys, but just such a deep catalog. Even those first two albums with Evans and Simper, it's just like, it's those albums have like that swinging 60s Austin Powers vibe to them, which I love. And then when they brought in Glover and Gillan, they just went in such a heavier direction that really put their stamp on rock history.
Like that, we get some percussion in there.
Yeah, I wonder who was
Ian Gillan. Always had a set of congas on stage. Okay. I mean, you look at the cover of Made in Japan, the band shot on stage. He always had a set of congas on stage. So. And that's another thing when you look at their live albums, especially the ones with this lineup. You could also trace, you know, a lot of the jam band mentality back to them, because they would, you know, the space trucking on Made in Japan is like 20 minutes long.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is it this section or
it's everything? It's several sections. Yeah. In fact, I want to say, I don't know if it was a standalone or if they blended it into one of their other songs, but somebody mentioned Little Richard earlier. They used to do Lucille as either like as part of a medley within one of their songs or standalone. But
and I'm reading, I think this is what I'm, I think I'm comprehending this correctly, but it was, I think this song during the sort of part where they're extending a jam, isn't that when the California jam, when Blackmore went crazy and like attacked the cameras and
lit his guitar on fire?
Yeah, at least I think that was, from what I'm reading, that would have been during this song. So that must have been part of their set to.
This song?
I don't know. That's what the Wikipedia page for this song, it's mentioning that incident.
But yeah, that's a legendary. Like, and plus, that was, you know, televised live, I think, or taped late or something. But, you know, it was all. Every set was filmed. That was Earth, Wind, and Fire opened the set, which, by the way, there's a new Earth, Wind, and Fire documentary out on HBO. Another one of those awesome HBO documentaries. Cool. Amazing band. The talent in that band, off the charts. Philip Bailey, of course.
Sure.
But they, Earth, Wind, and Fire opened the show, and you had Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, Eagles, I think, were on the bill.
Black Oak, Arkansas, yeah, apparently.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Double kick action. Tommy Aldridge, amazing concert. And but yeah, I can't remember exactly what set Blackmore off, but he essentially just went berserk on stage.
How do you set a guitar on fire? It seems like it'd be difficult to do.
Well, it's Hendrix did it at Monterey. Just pulled out a bottle of lighter fluid and lit it up.
But I'm thinking if you just went berserk
and just said, I want to spontaneously.
Yeah, like it wasn't planned.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, it would be really hard to just be, I'm going to light this guitar on fire right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe something pissed him off before they went on stage and he planned it with his tech. Who knows?
But. Yeah.
I have a hard enough time lighting a dry piece of wood for actually doing a campfire sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
The other day, on the 4th of July, I lit the grill. The coals were burning. You know, they were getting white or whatever.
Yeah.
I put the burgers on there, walked away. Came out a few minutes later, ice cold grill. Everything just burnt out.
And
I can't get anything to burn.
Yeah, but yet these guys can light their guitars on fire.
That's why they're them and Andy's Andy.
Honestly, that's it. Some people have all the luck.
But yeah, that you know, it just ain't Deep Purple without Blackmore in the band for me. I mean, it just his volatile personality, and just it was another thing that this lineup of Deep Purple had an edge over the other lineups, just the chemistry between these five guys musically and on a personal level, and speaking on the personal level, they really did not like each other. Maybe not at the out, not so much at the outset, but they grew to really
like every
each
guy
other. Yeah, to the point where
I've heard people say that about like Cream and stuff, and I'm just like,
oh yeah,
so they, all three of them, like, I hate that guy and I hate that guy, and that's what all the other two would say.
Yeah, no, wow. I've heard that too. And that's, you know, they were together for what, 2 years? But yeah, there's a lot to be said for that that kind of chemistry. If the guys are talented enough, it can really yield some amazing results, as we're listening to here.
Couple things I want to address here. I'm just going through the chat.
Andy's gonna.
Well, no, just things worth noting.
Call people out here.
No, Lee Travis said, does he say space fucking also,
my
or
goodness.
Am I hearing things? Does he sneak one in? Is it one of those
my
songs?
Dear goodness.
You know, you hear that about songs over the years. Where
can that even happen?
Well, ask Neil Armstrong. I don't know. Ask the astronauts. I don't know.
Buzz Aldrin would punch you if you asked him.
He would do one of two things.
Either the left or the right.
Yeah. Now, I think Cole Lee's hearing things. But, maybe he snuck one in a time or two on stage. I don't know. I've never heard that. But
another.
Go ahead.
Chris Camerato says, Charlie Benante claims SOD Milk is the first blast beat. So I think there's a distinction here between what technically is a blast beat.
It's probably a beats per minute requirement, fast it is.
But I think it's the snare and the bass drum at the same time doing that. Like that really fast. But with the snare and the bass drum doing the same rhythm. It's not just the fast bass drum with the regular on the top. I think the blast beat is like,
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the criteria.
Yeah, I don't either, drummer, to be honest.
But I think that's it.
But I would, just asking humbly uneducated me, I would say overkill counts, but that's just me.
It's not a blast beat, Nick.
Well,
that's what Charlie's saying.
Okay, I'm not going to argue.
I thought
drums with Charlie.
Rudimentary understanding of it, when I hear the term, I think it's got to be a minimum of beats per minute and like super fast and to the point where it's like it just sounds like one continuous note from the kick drums. But I'm not a drummer, so. I'm a normal person, normal, well-adjusted individual, not a drummer.
Well, I think that's good enough. We can get back to it here.
I think that was the bass, you know.
Yeah, as it's fading out,
feeling a little bit brave.
Another one of those fade outs where right at the end or like they're kicking into another gear and they just decide to end it there, so fade it out.
I guess you think that's ever done intentionally as like a hey, come see the live show.
I think there are times when it was done. I think other times it's probably just before the song just kind of fell apart.
Either that or just they only had this much time on the side of the album.
Yeah, there's always that possibility as well. You don't hear a lot of fade outs anymore, do you, in rock music?
I don't think so.
Not as much, no.
I don't hear much rock music anymore.
Well, I don't either, to be honest. But
I don't know what's going on. Tony Griggs knows. I don't know. I'm not going to read all this to you, but just out of curiosity, I asked AI what technically qualifies as a blast beat. It gave me like 20 paragraphs, but some of the funny things it's talking about: Euro blasts, hammer blasts, bomb or cannibal blasts, which is popularized by Cannibal Corpse.
Well, there you
gravity go. Blast. I don't need to know the answer to any of this.
How many different ways can you hit? Can you press a kick drum pedal?
At what point is it the maximum speed any human being is capable of?
Yeah, well, it is the absolute fastest, I wonder.
But it is saying that it's these variations are based on the way you use all four limbs, like whether you're doing things at the same time or not. So, you know, the alternation of the four limbs is what qualifies.
Well, Chris is a master of the Baja Blast, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's another, you don't hear a lot of fade outs and just back to the drumming. Nobody plays the drums like this anymore. And nobody records drums like this anymore.
No, they don't.
Drums don't sound like a fucking drum kit anymore. It's all so artificial.
I feel like a broken record because every time we hear something like this, I talk about it too. But it's so much more palatable to the ears to hear drums that sound like drums
and a human being playing them.
And playing it with some, you know, some flair and some technique. And it's just like, you know, these guys, they were all influenced by the Buddy Riches and the Gene Krupas and stuff. And it's just so much time has passed since the jazz drummers were the cat's ass that just nobody plays like this anymore. I mean, if anybody can point to a modern drummer who plays like this, please point them out to me. I would be interested in listening to that. But then, in order for the nuances of this type of playing to come out, you can't have like a modern, how they record modern drums. You have to bring out the character of the kit itself.
Well, you have to get a drum set and start there.
And properly
tuned.
Then
put some microphones and not everything being sampled or whatever.
Trigger.
Unless maybe it's a really good electronic kit.
No.
I don't know that you're going to be able to capture.
No, I don't think
all the,
so.
All the little.
that's a no for me.
Probably not. No.
No.
But.
Because you need to hear everything. You hear the stick noises.
Yeah, the fucking resonating of the drum heads. It's all part of the equation.
Squeaky pedals,
squeaky
whatever.
Squeaky pedals, yeah.
Bracelets on a wrist, whatever. Yeah. You hear everything. It makes a difference.
Somebody fucking Steven Adler's girlfriend on the floor tom, well, that was, sort of thing.
That was electronically put on there anyway. Yeah. That wasn't real. And exactly. That wasn't done acoustically.
Yes, right. It was triggered.
Yeah.
By the engineer.
Wow. So you asked about who has a drum sound like that.
As far as a modern drummer?
Tony Griggs had an answer. Engine de Portuin, or whatever the... I'm not a Frenchman, but the two-piece, weird-looking polka dot guys, he says. And he says they pulled in 200,000 people in Montreal for the jazz festival. Easily a record for attendance. Wow. The hell's going on? Well, they had their records at Target now.
They're hometown boys up there.
But from like this weird viral thing that people pass around, you think that, okay, it's just some weird guys in costumes. But no, it's a big deal.
It's a phenomenon.
So
I have to delve deeper into that.
Yeah. All right, it's time for us to vote Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Balls. Nick, who's going to go first? Me? Yes, it's me.
Yeah, it's you.
I'm going to give it a Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
It's a fun song. It's a stupid song. Lyrically, I mean. But it's like, in a good way, that's what you want. That not everything needs to have some great meaning.
No,
it doesn't. We went around in our stoner bus around the galaxy or whatever and did a bunch of bullshit, danced with some aliens. I don't know what they're talking, you know, and it sounds cool. That's all it is. We don't need anything more than that.
No.
Not everything needs to be a statement.
Especially, again, in 1972.
That's true.
I mean, what, Vietnam was fresh?
Everything else was a statement. You know? So, yeah, maybe it was even more refreshing at the time to just have a good time here. Nick?
I'm going to, of course, give it a Sweet Surrender.
Ooh.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
Yeah. Everything's great on it. Great song. I agree with Andy lyrically, yeah. And that's why it worked with Ace Frehley so much, because it's not taking itself too seriously lyrically. And that makes perfect sense. And also, I was looking at the Wikipedia page, and it says that Iron Maiden has covered this, and Overkill has covered this song. So just
Iron Maiden, huh?
Yeah, apparently.
Did they release that, or was it a live
thing? It was on a compilation, like a Deep Purple tribute compilation.
That's cool.
So, yeah. Again, just the standout, everything is great. That chorus riff, the main riff, everything. The guitar solo had some really cool little, I don't know what you'd call it, but surprises with some of the bursts of speed and things like that. But man, the drums are the star of the show, even though, and vocally everything's great, everything's perfect, but just, it's just that drum sound and the performance. And then it's still holding everything together on that fade out, but starting to play around a bit. And it's just a perfect performance from everybody, but particularly Ian Paice.
Yep.
Chris?
Oh, yeah. Sweet Surrender, for sure.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
A masterpiece. Album's masterpiece. Just nothing. All the stars, pun intended, were aligned for them at this point. And yeah, subject matter, fascination with space travel, which was still kind of, you know, new and revolutionary back then. And can't find fault in any of it.
All right, well, look where we will be located now. Moving to, let's go see Boring Alice.
All right, Hammond! I got a question for you!
Paul Stanley wants to know if space trucking is a rock and roll boner. It's voted by the three rock and roll boners in this room.
I was thinking about the whole jazz drumming influence on rock from this era. Just a theory off the cuff here, but I would guess it's probably because at this point in time, 60s and 70s, that had been so popular and that had been the norm for so long that it was a transitional period into what later became sort of the hard rock drumming style. And I don't know that very many, there are probably some, but I don't know that very many people who are playing hard rock and metal drums at this point can genuinely be influenced by that jazz style as much as these guys were, because that's not all there was, but there wasn't much more. Like they were, if they were going to transition from anything into what became rock and metal drumming, I would say jazz is the place. So, and if you're now someone playing a hard rock and metal now, you've got decades worth of guys who'd already been doing that and kind of stripped the jazz away from it.
Right, it got diluted every.
It just became
generation.
It became its own sort of style. It got kind of, everything else kind of got stripped away, and it became what it is. It had been that already for a long time. So,
and also most people, once John Bonham hit the scene, most people just sort of fixated on the power of his drumming, but he certainly had that jazz swing in his playing too. But just people just. And, you know, understandably so, focused on just like the sheer brute force and power of his playing. And so that kind of steered a lot of drummers down that way. But like Ian Paice, Mitch Mitchell, I've been getting a lot of isolated Mitch Mitchell drums from Jimi Hendrix Experience. Fucking unbelievable, man. I mean, these guys were, it's hard to say anybody was ever on par with Buddy Rich or Gene Krupa or any of those guys, but Mitch Mitchell is pretty damn close, and as is Ian Paice. Oh, and Space Truckin' on Made in Japan, comprised an entire side of the four sided album.
Wow.
20 minutes long.
Jeez. Yeah. A lot of conga playing.
You've got, you know, 12 minute version of Child in Time, 10 minute version of Lazy. You know, they were like a prototypical jam band, just a heavier version. As was Zeppelin. They would stretch out songs in concert, and I think most, if not all, the 70s bands did that. That's another thing. Bands don't get that adventurous anymore, and I don't think their audiences really want that anymore. So,
I don't like it.
You don't like it, I know that, but
it's too long. There's a difference between stretching it out a little in 20 minutes.
And being a little self-indulgent, yes, I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
Well, but I guess in a live setting...
20 minutes.
Well, you know, it was a different time,
not six
Andy.
6 minutes. Not
it was
8 minutes.
It was a different time, Andy.
I guess.
See, Andy would see a band 15 minutes into a song, he'd go, "What year is it?"
I would.
Are you listening to this?
Well, but isn't that the kind of thing that, like, the Ramones came in?
Yeah.
Kind of intentionally. Yes. Punk rock and stuff was a response to that overindulgence and bloated nature of... classic rock, hard rock, Grateful Dead, jam band stuff. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yes, every reaction has an equal and opposite reaction. That was that.
Yep. All right, my vote's in.
Mine's in.
Mine's in.
Andy, Nick, Chris. Rock.
Roll. Boner.
And he got it!
Weber originated that style of vocal.
Yeah.
I don't know. He said, "I did it."
I did it.
It never really stuck out to me before.
That's all great art. Every time you consume it, something new jumps out at you to appreciate.
Yep.
And he's like sobbing as he said it.
I think Pete Weber was in Deep Purple Mach 6 as the vocalist. Short-lived lineup.
Wow.
Oh, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention, and I'm sure I've mentioned this. Did we only do the one other Deep Purple episode when it was
getting
just
tighter?
Yeah, me and you, and that was from the Tommy Bolin era.
Yeah.
So this is our first discussion of Blackmore, but. Be remiss if I didn't mention that one of the coolest things that ever happened to me, and it wasn't cool at the time, believe me, but I wrecked a car while the Made in Japan version of Highway Star was cranking on the stereo.
Mm. Cooler now than it was then, huh?
Yeah, but I got as the aforementioned T-boning happened to me at an intersection. Mm. While Highway Star was playing, couldn't have been more perfect.
And a song about just loving driving a car too.
Yes,
just,
the perfect. And I survived it, so that made it something that I can look back on fondly. But it was a rather harrowing experience when it happened. That's for sure.
Did the radio turn off?
Well, it was going on the 8-track, and. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It turn off? I don't know.
Doesn't seem that important. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
If it was just a sudden stop or if you were like, "Oh, I'm okay," and the song is still on.
That part I do not remember. That's actually a good question. Yeah. But yeah. So, good times.
All right. Well, if you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
If you want to sound like Deep Purple, you're going to need some new gear.
You are.
Maybe you're going to need some a new guitar, maybe a new bass. You might need a pedal board.
Assemble that pedal board. Yeah. Get those, if you don't have a keyboard player. They make pedals that can make your guitar sound like an organ.
Yeah.
Get some of that. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that stuff.
You're going to need straps and picks, all the accessories. So what you're going
to
do...
who should they go to, Nick?
They need to hit up Danny over at DisherMusicGear.com.
DisherMusicGear.com. That's the place to be, huh?
Play a piece of history. Be revolutionary.
Yes.
It's Danny, Disher Music Gear. Danny, he makes the crowd cheer.
I like how he ties in the marketing slogans with the motifs of, especially his guitar straps and whatnot. Did he send one to Paul Gilbert yet?
I don't know, but I mentioned it to him, so I'm not sure where that is.
Get on it, Danny.
Get on it.
We'll find out, but I did throw that out there. I don't know if Paul Gilbert's easy to get in touch with or not, but...
He seems to be accessible. I'm sure he's got a website, just, if there's an address or something. If anybody would be receptive to receiving something like that, which ties into, some of his latest shtick, it would definitely be him. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would big league somebody who's actually sending him a thoughtful piece of gear like that.
Yeah. We need more Paul Gilberts in the world, don't we?
More Paul Gilberts, less Kim Wilsons.
No showing, no good for nothing. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a quick...
What if there's something in your spam, Chris? I'm so sorry. Guys, I'm so sorry.
Oh, well.
Had to go to urgent care.
Yeah.
Well, he lost his chance. All right, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with some seasonal jokes.
Is it the Frank or the beans?
Well, how the hell did you get the beans above the Frank?
The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out at night.
The jokes come out.
The jokes come out at night.
All right. What is this? Franks and Beans?
Yes, it is. Monday, July 13th, 2026. National Beans and Franks Day.
Who knew?
Wow.
No, you might have to get me some of them dill pickle beans and get some Franks and make a day of it. I'm not doing the apple pie one, though. I just I can't justify that in my brain.
So good.
So, National Beans and Franks Day, on the day this is released.
Yep.
All right. So, what do you got, Nick? You got a couple, or how many?
Well, I got two of my own, and then I outsourced one.
Okay, I have two. One is bean-centric, the other is Frank-centric.
Okay, I could get to our guest... Our guest joke.
You run it how you want.
Submitted by... He's got a couple nicknames now that we're going to debut. Andy's best friend.
This guy again.
Dave, king of the two-liners, Tomko.
Anyone but Dave.
No one but Dave.
Okay.
Dave wants us all to ponder... What did Hulk Hogan put on his hot dog at the WWF cookout?
What was it, Nick?
Dave wants to know. What did Hulk Hogan put on his hot dog at the WWF cookout?
No clue.
Mean Bean Okerlund.
What a shithead.
Andy meant that too.
I didn't even hear the joke.
Who is Mean? Is that a Mean Gene
reference?
Okay. You guys and your wrestling. Most of it is lost on me. But I do remember Mean Gene. So, you want me to go?
Yeah, or yeah. If you'd like, or I could do another one.
You tell me, bro.
Let's go, Chris.
All right. What do you call a group of stoned New Englanders who peaked in high school?
Stoned New Englanders who peaked in high school.
I don't know.
I don't know exactly where you're going with it, but I kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boston Baked Has-Beens.
Oh, that's good.
You like that, huh?
That's good.
Nick, what's that? Who's that person saying hot dog?
That's a young George Bailey.
Okay.
In the soda shop.
Gotcha.
So,
who is George Bailey?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, okay.
Nick goes deep with his...
He does go deep.
...pulls here.
Old-time references. He's an old soul, after all.
I've heard that.
What movie is about two young beans stranded on a tropical island?
Two young beans.
The Blue Lagoon.
Very good.
Wow.
You guys deserve way better than this jerk-off did tonight. I'm sorry.
I didn't think anyone would get that so quickly.
Well, because another proud moment in my life, I once faked being sick so my mom would call me off of school so I could watch the Blue Lagoon on cable.
Huh. I don't know anything about it. Why did you want to stay home to watch
because
the
Blue Lagoon? Brooke Shields is naked.
And, oh, okay.
And that's okay. The movie that in Top Secret, that whole scene where they're on the island together.
Correct.
It's based on the Blue Lagoon.
Yes.
Gotcha. The Blue Lagoon was the punchline of that one.
Yep.
All right.
Good one. All right. As I told Nick, this I did a snort take at my own joke on this one. I hope it goes over as well with everybody else. What was the proposed name of the hot dog-themed supergroup that was supposed to include members of Anvil and Disturbed?
Wow.
It's a hot dog themed supergroup.
What was the proposed name of the hot dog themed supergroup that was supposed to include members of Anvil and Disturbed?
I love the idea. I don't know.
Lips and Assholes.
How dare him? How dare him?
Best joke of this entire run of all good. Of these.
I was a huge fan. And that one came to me during a work team's call.
Stop smiling.
Yeah, I had to turn my camera off for a minute. I just started cracking up myself. Oh.
Well, gotta follow that one, I guess.
Yeah, good luck.
Why did someone call the police on the sausage that was hanging around outside the convenience store late at night?
Call the police on the sausage.
The sausage was hanging out, kind of loitering around the convenience store late at night. Why'd they call the police on him?
On the hot dog?
On the hot dog.
Okay. I don't know.
Andy?
I don't know.
It looked like he was casing the joint.
Yeah.
Don't listen to this, idiot.
Oh, good one. Good jokes.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. What more do you want?
Yeah, one hot dog centric joke and one bean centric joke from each of us, and then one from Andy's best buddy. So, the perfect joke segment, basically.
Yeah. Hey, what did the horny what did the horny founding father call his balls?
I know. I think I know where you're going.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm gonna say it wrong.
Franklin's beans.
Bullshit! Bullshit!
I thought you were going to say, like, Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, well, There's a lot of ways you could go with that one. Yeah. I like how you came up with one just
that
now,
might be
though.
A new thing. That might be good. A new requirement where I have to do it.
That's good. On
the fly. Keeps the mind sharp. That's why I want to keep this segment going. It challenges me.
It is a challenge.
We don't sure. AI this shit, okay? That's one absolute rule we have amongst ourselves. It's gotta be something that, like, there's no way
AI it's gotta come out of your brain.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Tom Coe, if you're AIing your jokes, stop doing that now.
I don't think he is.
No, but I'm just saying, don't resort to that ever, or you'll really be in the doghouse around here.
If we have to build a data center for Dave Tomko's jokes, not going to be happy. All right. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, everybody, on patreon.com/pot of thunder. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you for being here live with us on Thursday. Thank you for listening to us on Monday, wherever you listen, or whenever the hell you're listening in the future. Thank you to Curiosities. Thank you to Disher Music. Thank you. We'll be back next week with more hot dogs, more Pot of Thunder. I'm gonna get that bed.